He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You have been bought with a price. So he's reminding them of these important facts of what we are. If we are God's building, God's temple, and the holy place, we ought to be reverent. We ought to always be on our best conduct. It is a holy place. He has made us holy because of what Christ has done, and no one should dare even deface it in any way, shape, or form. It's a special thing. God made us his children, and he has indwelt us with his Holy Spirit. I'd like you to take your scriptures, if you will, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I'm going to date myself as I open up this time, but just want to reminisce a little bit what it was like when I was a child going to church. It was fascinating because, you know, times have changed in many respects. But I can remember my parents telling me that I couldn't run in church because it's God's house. I was told I had to have respect for this place, and it was a special place where people would come to worship and they would meet with God. I couldn't yell. I couldn't fool around. I can remember getting caught a couple times running through. There was a connection between the Sunday school quarter, and there was a little foyer section into where the sanctuary was. And I can remember running through that. I forget who I was chasing, and I was confronted. And I still remember. I can't only remember the person who confronted me, but I remember getting confronted. No, you can't run. You can't do those things. I had to sit still when I was in church. I had to sit up straight. I couldn't slouch. Those things weren't allowed. To even think of the terms sanctuary, we even call this the sanctuary. The term sanctuary in the Bible comes from a Greek term, hagion. Literally means holies, holy place, the sacred place, or the dedicated place. And so in those days, once we entered the sanctuary, we spoke quietly. We had a whisper. I can remember you can hear a pin drop when you walked into the sanctuary. You would sit down. And it was only a place for singing songs and then a place where we would hear the word of God. But we had to be very respectful. And I can remember that drilled in as a kid. You know, this because it was a place we came to meet with God. I had to wear my best clothes. And so that meant, you know, I would never dream to go to church in my dirty clothes or my play clothes or barefoot. Those things were out. In fact, Saturday night as a kid, that was bath night. Because I had to have a bath because I had to go to church clean. And I can remember that was what it was. No one in his right mind would dare to even deface the place of worship. You know, there was no swearing. No one was dancing in the sanctuary. There was no chewing of gum in the sanctuary. No one lit up a cigarette in the sanctuary. I mean, it was a special place and where we were going. It was dedicated to God, and we had to put on our best behavior. And on it goes. I mean, some of you, it depends what generation you're on, but, you know, many of those things were. Many of us can remember being instructed in those things. I even remember someone leaning against the communion table. And an older saint came and rebuked the individual for leaning against the communion table that was up front because they said, this is the place where they serve the Lord's Supper. You don't lean or sit on it. And now, don't take me wrong in what I'm going to say. This place is a special place, and it ought to be respected. You know, this is a place where we meet communally, where we worship God. It's a place we've dedicated where we're going to corporately worship together. However, this building is not, in the technical sense, the sanctuary. You are. Do you know the difference? You're God's sanctuary because the Holy Spirit has come and indwelt you. The Holy Spirit resides within the believer. Now, when we meet in this building, he is already indwelling us. And so when we came to meet, He came and he's indwelling us. And now corporately, all of us who are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, we can corporately sing and give praise to God. You know, and so the Holy Spirit's with us when we entered the building. He leaves with us when we exit this building. He's with us every day during the week when we are out there in this world. And then when we come back, he is still indwelling us. And worship then isn't regulated by a brick building or wood building that people may meet in. It's regulated by the people who are there as they throughout the week have been yielding themselves to the Holy Spirit that is within them and allowing him to guide us and control us in every which way. That was the problem that was taking place at Corinth, because the people forgot that they were God's sanctuary. That's why he reminds them here in verse 19, chapter 6, verse 19. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You know, and so he's reminding them of these important facts of what we are. Now, there are two terms here I just want to bring to your attention. It's right here in verse 1 where he says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I just want to look at that word temple. There are two words in the Bible that talks about temple. The first word I'm going to give you is not the word that is used here for temple. It's been used in other places. It's actually the other word that's been used 71 times. It's a term that is used of physical buildings. It's primarily found in the Old Testament. Four times you'll find it in the New Testament where it's been translated sanctuary. Three times it's referring to the Old Testament sanctuary. And then one time it's talking about that heavenly sanctuary or temple that is there in the heavenly places. That is not the word that is used here. It's another word. It's called nenos. Literally, it's used 46 times and used especially in this context. It is not describing the building. It is describing the holy place, the inner sanctuary of the temple. And it is, you know, the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. That is the nenos, is the word that they would be using if we were translating it into Greek. That is the term that Paul exclusively uses when he's speaking about us. And he's talking about us individually and collectively when we're gathered together, that the Holy Spirit is indwelling us and we have become the nenos, the inner sanctuary, that dwelling place. We are God's temple. That's the word that he's using here. Now, I think of the irony of my childhood when I was growing up and the instructions that we were given inside the building of brick that I had. We were to be reverent. Think how reverent we ought to be, because now we are the sanctuary. We had to be on our best conduct then. We ought to always be on our best conduct. If we are God's building, God's temple, and the holy place, we ought to be reverent. We ought to always be on our best conduct. It is a holy place. He has made us holy because of what Christ has done, and no one should dare even to face it in any way, shape, or form. It's a special thing. God made us his children, and he has indwelt us with his Holy Spirit. Now, the reality is, then, we are God's house, and so we are to be careful. Just keep your finger here, and just go to Ephesians chapter 4. There's a couple instructions that kind of go along with this. Paul, as he's writing to another group of people at Ephesus, and in chapter 4, verse 30, he says this to them. Got to remember, we're his sanctuary. That is the same idea as the Holy of Holies, the inner dwelling place. He says this in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We're not to grieve this. Listen, how special God has done with us. He has made us this. He chose to reside within us. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit and go off in bad conduct or reverently conducting ourselves. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, he repeats almost the same thing. He reminds the Corinthians, he says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Twice he reminds them in the book of 1 Corinthians of the place that God has made them, the holy place, indwelling them. Because of this, we're his ambassadors, and so as his ambassadors, we're to go out and we're to represent Christ. He expects us to do these things. Well, the problem was the Corinthians were not doing this. So go back to our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Corinthians had convinced themselves that they could do anything with their bodies and it would not affect their soul. Now, it was the early stages, what you call Gnosticism, because Gnosticism kind of separated the body and the soul. They didn't kind of link them together. They made them separate so you can do anything in your body as long as your soul is all right. Well, I'll tell you, that's you can get into all kinds of licentiousness and all kinds of wickedness, but that was the concept that they had. You can see it in this passage here. I want you to look at verse 12. Apostle Paul, there probably were slogans that were going around within the church. And in verse 12, he starts off, he says, "All things are lawful unto me." Now, he's doing a compare and contrast because he says not all things are expedient when he goes into this. But it's probably the thought that the people were having, "All things are lawful unto me. Now that I know Christ, I can do anything." Drop down to verse 13. Second slogan they had going on. "Meats for the belly, belly for the meats." And so we're going to look at those two terms and how they were thinking and the wrong thinking, and it was affecting their conduct in every way, shape, and form. So the first one was, "All things are lawful unto me." In this case, they felt that they were free to indulge in anything they wanted to do, because everything's been judged under Christ, and it's not what you do in the body, it's just what you do with the soul, and that's it. Soul's all right with God. My body can do anything I want to do. I'm not under the law. In fact, Paul even addressed this in another place. Keep your finger here. Just go back to Romans chapter 6. I want you to look at this passage here, Romans chapter 6, to help us kind of nail this down. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. He says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?" What's the next two words? He says, "No way on earth, God forbid." You know, they didn't give you license to go out and do whatever you wanted to do. You have been, remember, bought with a price. You're to glorify God in your body. Those are the two thoughts that he's going to start dealing with. And so we're to keep ourselves separate because we have become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And this is the sanctuary, our bodies. Go back to our passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to look at verse 12 again. Because this is how he answers this first slogan that they had. "All things are lawful unto me." Well, you may feel you can go out and do anything you want to do with your body, anything you want to do at all. But he first part of the argument, "But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." In other words, though we may have liberty to do many things that are not mentioned in Scripture, not everything is expedient. Excessive debt is not expedient, is it? Because it enslaves us. It may be liberty. I have liberty to go out and buy and spend and do anything I want with my body. But if I'm not careful, you know what? I'm going to become enslaved to debt. Addiction. I may be at liberty to indulge in all kinds of other things that are out there. But you know, if I'm not careful, I may become enslaved to nicotine. I may become slave to something else that's out there. I mean, I don't have, you know, listen, he does not want us to become indebted to anything but him. And he doesn't want us to become enslaved in any way, shape, or form. We may have liberties, and there's a lot of gray areas that are out there that are not mentioned in Scripture. We think, oh, I can do that. It really may not be expedient. It may actually bring you into enslavement of some sort. Now, I tell you, modern day Christianity loves to think they have all these freedoms. And literally, it's not expedient. And often, it is enslaving them in one way or another. You know, furthermore, you know, he goes on and he begins to explain this, like in verse 19. He says, what, know ye not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. I mean, he emphasized, you are not your own. We are to present this body a living sacrifice unto God in every way, shape, or form. You have been bought with a price. And so I'm to glorify. In fact, he actually says it in verse 20, chapter 6, verse 20. I am to glorify God in my body, you know, which is, and in my spirit. You notice he uses both in verse 20. He says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, because they were separating the two. And they were going in the thing, I can do anything I want. So I'm to ask myself, and you and I are to ask ourselves when we go out and do anything in this world, is the thing that I'm about to do, is it expedient? And that I mean, is the thing that I'm about to do, is it going to bring glory to God? If it's not going to bring glory to God, why in the world should I go out and do those things? Or I'm to ask myself, if the thing I'm about to do, is it going to enslave me in one way or another? You know, I'm going to go out there and I got my credit card and I got $20,000 I could spend on my credit card. Ooh. And I have been really lusting for a snowmobile. Man, wouldn't it be great to go 60 miles an hour over the snow, you know? Use it one time because Connecticut doesn't get enough snow. Got to buy a hitch, got to buy a suit. $20,000. Then the payments start coming in. Well, I got another credit card. I can spend it on something else. This one has $30,000. All of a sudden, you find yourself $50,000 in debt. Is that expedient, folks? You know how that's going to affect us in every way, you know, because it's going to affect our ability to give to the poor and to the needy and to whatever else. It's going to affect us because we may have to take up two jobs. It's going to, so it'll affect our family, and on and on and on it goes. I mean, and literally, you became enslaved. So we're to ask ourselves, is the thing that I'm about to do, is it expedient? Or is the thing that I'm about to do, is it going to enslave me in one way or another? Is it going to hinder my ability to glorify God? I'll tell you, there's a lot of things out there that we can do that is literally going to enslave us in one way or another, and certainly will detract from the glory of God when we shouldn't even be doing it. And the Corinthians were out there and they're rationalizing, I can do whatever I want to do. Slogan number one. Look at slogan number two. It's in verse 13 again. It says, meats for the belly and belly for meats. Meats obviously are made to nourish us. Most of us like a good steak. Some are off into meats, are not off meat, you know, then some nice fish or something like, you know, but we like food. It makes us fit for our digestive system. It's a good thing. Well, the Corinthians, now this is their thinking. Well, that's just natural things. It's natural for you and I to desire to have food and to have, you know, meats and to have good foods and gourmet meals. That's okay. Well, you know, that's just a natural thing of the flesh. Well, another natural thing of the flesh is sex. What's wrong with that? That's just a natural impulse. God gave us those natural impulses. You know, the desire of the opposite sex. And so that's a normal thing. And therefore, so they were going, and remember, they separated the spirit and the body. And so the body can engage in all kinds of sexual activities. Adultery, incest, fornication, whatever it is. That was the early Gnostics is what they were beginning to think about. Didn't matter what the body did as long as the soul's right with God. So they were living together and having all those things. Sounds like the church today, doesn't it? They have concluded that God's going to accept them as sinners, and they are without obligation to live holy lives here on this earth. Notice what he says here in verse 13 again. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both of it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. In other words, the body, God did not design us to have sex outside of the marriage or to do any kind of thing that's pornographic, because that's not what he had designed us for. He's saying it right in this passage here. And let me read it right in the middle of verse 13. But God shall destroy both of it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Your physical body is to glorify God in all your actions, and it needs to keep within the confines of Scripture and the sexual activity within the confines of marriage, and none of those things should be outside of any of those at all. Your body and soul are connected. He even says it a little more in verse 14. He says, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Listen, your physical body is a member of Christ as much as your spiritual soul is a member with Christ. You will be raised up again one day. Right in verse 15. Shall I then make the member of Christ, this physical body, a member of Christ, where the Holy Spirit is indwelling this member of Christ, and make them the member of a harlot? God forbid. What are we going out? Now, you got to understand what was happening. Some of the Corinthians, right at downtown Corinthians, they had the temple of Diana that was right in the center of town. And the prostitutes at sunset would come out and they'd flood the towns, and you would engage a temple prostitute because it was an act of worship. So some of the people in the church was doing that. It's okay. My spirit is right with God. My body can do whatever I want to do. And he says, no, God forbid, don't let any of those things go on. Verse 16. He says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For the two, saith he, shall be one flesh. There is some kind of connection, though we may not understand all of it, but your body is not to be joined in any way, shape, or form with that kind of activity. It is made exclusively for your mate. That's it. There's a spiritual connection, the intimacy that goes on. He does not want us to engage in any way, shape, or form with those things. Verse 19. So he reminds us again. Well, verse, I should go and say 17 here. He says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Therefore, flee fornication. Fornication now is not just a sexual relationship with another person, but fornication can include pornography. Fornication can include any that's erotic kind of activity outside of the bonds of marriage. It ought not to happen. And he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Because you remember, your body is joined with Christ. You're sinning against your own body, and which belongs to Jesus Christ. We should have none of those things. Gotta think, this was the problem that was going on within the church at Corinth. And he was saying, stop it. Enough. Don't think you're going to continue on in doing these things and then say, well, I'm all right with Jesus. No, you're not all right with Jesus if you're continuing on doing that kind of stuff. You're out of fellowship and you're in sin. So he goes, and in fact, go back to verse 11. He says this, and such were some of you. In other words, this is before they were saved. Notice what they were before they saved. Let me go back a little bit further. Verse 9, he starts listing these things. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. And that may have been your past lifestyle. I mean, the Corinthians, I mean, it's really hard. You lead someone to the Lord at Corinth, it's really going to be hard to find someone that did not engage in any of those things. I mean, they were active sinners. They were pagan, just like us. Active sinners before we got saved. And so he goes and he says, now look, such were some of you. And what did Christ do to us? Well, it's good news what he did with us. But ye are washed, verse 11. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of God, you've been cleansed. Don't go back. And then he reminds them very clearly, verse 19 again. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? You are not your own. You belong to Christ. He even goes on and he says, for ye are bought with a price, a high price. Christ died for your sins. And that price tag cleansed you, sanctified you, made you his child. You became God's sanctuary that he's pleased to dwell within us and be with us. And then he ends this last part here. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Belongs to God. We live in a day where we're told we can do many things. In fact, we live in a day, whether we're told or not, we're bombarded. I mean, you turn on, now most of us are getting rid of our cable. Most of us are getting rid of, you know, we're all going, we're becoming sophisticated. We got the internet channels, you know, we got Netflix with the smorgasbord of junk. And then we have, Hulu and the smorgasbord that's there and Sling TV. And I can't even name all the things that are out there. And yet we are, if you're not careful, man, you can get bombarded with garbage. And then we turn on the news. We're going to escape into the news. Oh, man. Politician and individual after another individual is falling out there. And we see it. And then if you think you escaped, then you got the ads in between. I mean, it's tough. And I understand that. But he wants to remind you that the Holy Spirit is indwelling those that are his. You have been bought with a very high price, Jesus Christ. The life that you have, both spiritually and physically, are not yours. They belong to Christ. What you do with your body ought to glorify God. What you do with your mind, you are to glorify God. That is his standard. That is his desire. And by the way, he has given you the power and the ability to do that. May we not be like the Corinthians. We're learning from them. We're to be more like Christ, conformed into his image day by day. Good news is, if we have fallen back, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, some of the sins sometimes got big and we had to go to someone else and ask for forgiveness. Do it. Make sure you're right with him. Walk with the King, because if that's the most important part, you belong to him. Let's pray.